Make sure and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can see video along with the audio for this podcast episode. There's also shorts coming out daily there that I think will add value. You can find a link to the show in the description if you're watching on your phone, or simply jump over to YouTube and search The Daily Real Estate Investor. Hit subscribe, and I hope it helps you on your real estate investing journey. Now let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm excited to have you guys joining me. Today, we're going to dive into some trending news in the real estate industry. I'm your host, Josiah Smelser, and I'm going to be running this one solo today. Tony's not with us for this one, but I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. So first thing I want to talk about is the housing market. The housing market is in an interesting spot right now because, as you are probably well aware, the Federal Reserve has hiked interest rates at the fastest clip in the history of the United States. And we have basically gone from around 3.5% to around 7.5% now. And it's unprecedented the rate at which we have hiked. So it's had a funny effect on the housing market. Many have predicted that the housing market was going to have massive trouble. But the interesting thing about it is housing values in a lot of areas really have not come down much, if at all. Some areas they're going up. Take areas like Huntsville, Alabama, for example. Values are still going up there. And what is the reason for housing values going up when interest rates have more than doubled over the last few years? Well, the reason is there isn't enough housing for sale. Why is there not enough housing for sale? Well, there's a couple reasons. The first reason is that the owners that have a 3.5% mortgage, they're not stupid. They know that they have, you know, a $300,000 house with a $1,300 mortgage payment, taxes and insurance included. And if they sell that $300,000 house and move to another city and buy another $300,000 house, their mortgage payment's going to jump to over $2,000 a month. So there's not a big incentive for people to really make a move unless they absolutely have to. The people that do have to make a move are really kind of screwed because they're giving up the low mortgage rate they have. They're moving to another market and they're having to pick from a housing selection that is just not that great, because a healthy housing market has 4 to 6 months of inventory. And currently there's only 2 months of inventory on the market. So there's not enough properties for sale right now. Now, this is having ripple effects on the real estate services industry, as you can imagine. You know, let me give you an example. So I'm a broker and an appraiser. And as you know, I have investment properties. So I have multiple income streams that I rely on to pay my bills. So let me walk you through the first, appraisal. So I've read in some surveys that the appraisal volume of orders is down 90%, which is crazy. Now, in my own business, I would say my order volume is down probably 50%. So, you know, and why is this? Well, there's not enough people buying homes and selling homes, and there's not enough people doing refinances, because not only do you not want to buy, you know, not want to sell right now, but you also don't want to refinance, because you're going from a 3 to 4% interest rate to 7.5%. So the volume on refinances and sales has just fallen off a cliff. And then on the other front, you've got the real estate agent and broker market, which their volume's gone way down. So 2021, the real estate agents and brokers were making crazy money and, you know, partying like it was 1999. And now those same agents, a lot of them, they can't get any deals closed. And a lot of these agents are not going to be around much longer, I'm afraid. the good agents and those that have, you know, robust business and are still getting some deals closed are going to weather the storm. But this is the nature of the real estate cycles that happen. And so how did we get here? Well, we got here because if you remember, roll back the clock to pre-COVID. Well, pre-COVID, the real estate market was on fire. There weren't enough houses and everything had a bidding war, if you remember. During that time, COVID happened out of nowhere. Then the markets just shut down overnight. And I can attest to this because I had 10 flips going at the same time. And we went from people fighting over our properties to we couldn't give a property away. And so instead of trying to discount the property so much that we lost money, we turned around and rented them and kept them and just refinanced them and got our capital back. And it was a good thing we did that because shortly after that, where everyone was terrified that the real estate market was going to implode and, you know, the economy was imploding and that, you know, life was over as we know it. Soon after that came all the Fed stimulus. And that's really the biggest problem, in my opinion, as to how we got here. So we had easy money, which was low interest rates for a long time. And then on top of that, we had a crazy amount of stimulus. So if you remember, people were getting checks that sometimes they didn't even need in these stimulus checks. And what did they do with that money? Well, some people just went out and spent it. Have a good friend that was a manager at a local restaurant. And he said after these stimulus checks came out that the amount of people coming in and buying lobster was absolutely crazy. And so people were getting these stimulus checks and going out to a nice meal and buying lobster with it. Well, other people took it and they bought real estate. And they bought new cars and they bought baseball cards and they went on vacations and they did whatever they wanted with this extra money that had shown up. Well, this created another feeding frenzy in the real estate market that drove prices way up. So we had still very low interest rates and we had another, you know, war going on for every property listed, everything selling over asking price. And so we experienced a lot of inflation. So the inflation was created by the low interest, easy money environment and the stimulus, which it's obvious, right, in hindsight, that we would have a lot of inflation created from that because there was more money put into circulation and people had incentive to spend it, right? And they had incentive to borrow, to buy, because the low interest rate environment. So prices were all selling at all-time highs. And as an appraiser, this was an interesting time to be doing appraisals because there's five offers on everything and they're all above the most recent comparable sale, which also sold above the comparable sales before that. So it's a difficult environment as an appraiser to work in. But so the Fed looks at the inflation rate, looks at the skyrocketing price of groceries, fuel, food costs at restaurants, and the runaway inflation rate. And they're like, we got to fix this. So how are they going to fix it? By raising interest rates, by doing the exact opposite of what they did to stimulate the economy, right? So they started raising interest rates. Well, as you raise interest rates, you know, eventually something's going to break, right? Well, we started seeing some of the community banks or more local banks collapse. So we had several banks go out. And, you know, banking can experience problems when rates are raised rapidly due to, you know, the products they have lent out. And if they get sideways on their loans because, you know, the products they've lent are not keeping up with the current rates, then obviously they can start losing money. And if people are incentivized to pull their cash out of a bank instead of leave it in because, you know, they're not getting a high rate of return on their cash, but they could take their cash and go do something like, you know, buy real estate and get a higher return, then they're incentivized to do that. Also, if they think the bank could fail, they're incentivized to try to grab grab their money, pull their money out before the bank goes under, and it creates a bank run, kind of like you saw in It's a Wonderful Life, right? So this was some of the panic that was going on when some of these banks were going under. Well, so that was the first sign that something is breaking. And there are some now saying that we have further problems coming on down the line. In one category that they're worried about is commercial real estate. And why? Well, there is $4 billion of commercial real estate loans coming up for renewal in September, and another $4 billion of commercial real estate loans coming up for renewal in October. And these commercial real estate loans have the same exact problem as we were talking about on the residential side. These loans were done at lower interest rates, and they were underwritten at more conservative metrics. What metrics? Well, one would be insurance. The insurance industry has insurance prices have absolutely skyrocketed. So insurance costs are up 40% in some places. And so when you underwrite things like insurance in your pro forma, you typically are not underwriting hikes factoring in a 40% rate in 1 year. So these deals that were closed in 2021, 2022, that did not have conservative underwriting, underestimated things like insurance cost, you know, repair costs have skyrocketed, things of that nature. And then on top of that, their interest rate is the biggest problem, right? If they got their deal 2 years ago and their rate was 4.5%, and their deal's coming up for renewal now, and their rate is adjusting to 7.5%, and their insurance has gone up, and their cost of repairs has gone up, and their margins were already thin, that could put them in the negative. So many are predicting that we're going to see a lot of commercial deals start going belly up, and we're going to start seeing some distressed sellers in the commercial market. So let's bring this all back to the residential market. What's going to happen with residential? So my gut on what's going to happen with residential is I don't think we're going to see an implosion of the residential real estate market over the next year. Some are predicting that. I just don't see that happening, and here's why. There's just simply not enough houses for sale. Everything is about supply and demand. It's economics. And you remember that supply and demand curve in your economics class where your teacher showed you as supply goes down, demand goes up, right? Well, builders are not as interested in building right now because of the higher risk and the higher interest rates. The cost of their capital has gone up, and it's a more uncertain environment for them to be building in. So we don't have as many new homes being built. Sellers are not wanting to sell their houses right now because they don't see anything they want to buy, and they don't want to trade up on their interest rate significantly. So there's simply not enough homes for sale. And as long as we don't have enough homes for sale, I just don't see the fallout happening in the residential market. So Zillow just published a survey, and they predicted in a lot of markets in the US that these real estate markets will go up 5% or more within the next 12 months. And people are saying they're insane. I tend to agree with them. I tend to think that, you know, in a market with too little supply, with still a significant amount of buyers, even if it's less than what it was in 2021, there's still buyers looking for a place to live and purchase, but we have too little supply. I just don't see the value of housing going way down. Now, there will be some markets where the demand is not there. Like if you're in a market where there's a lot of job loss and the cost of living has gotten unreasonable and you need to move out of state, right? Those markets, the values may dip because the demand's not there. But if you're in a healthy area in a healthy state and the business environment is healthy, I don't see the value of your house going down too much, if at all, over the next 12 months. I do think there will be some issues in the commercial real estate market coming up. And I think if you are a commercial real estate investor or wannabe, this could be a really great time to cautiously analyze deals, and possibly scoop up some discounted real estate. So that's my take on the current state of the residential and commercial markets. I want to talk about one more thing before we wrap this up. And that is a question that I get a lot, which is people love sending me these articles about how short-term rentals and Airbnb is having trouble. And I always chuckle because our business is on track to do about $2 million in revenue this year. And that's just off of our short-term rentals. And that's more than we did last year. So, you know, our properties year over year, now we added a property or two within the last 12 months, but our properties year over year, if we line them up next to each other, at worst are down maybe 5% year over year. And, you know, our stuff predominantly is in Pigeon Forge, Sevierville, Gatlinburg, and we have another set of properties in, you know, on the lake in Alabama. But we're just simply not seeing the fall off on Airbnb and VRBO stuff. And I like more saying vacation rental cabins, because our stuff is vacation rentals and not this short-term Airbnb stuff in the cities that's really taking the hardest hit. When we bought our vacation rentals, we really thought through that and we strategized around trying to buy stuff in markets that had a, you know, protective moat around them with a competitive advantage that we felt like was sustainable. We stayed out of the cities because of the risk of the cities changing the rules and laws and making it illegal or very cumbersome to own an Airbnb. And we see that that's happened. That just happened in Dallas. They just made it illegal to have a short-term rental in a residential zoned neighborhood. And so now thousands of owners up there are, you know, up a creek owning these properties they bought as short-term rentals. Now they're having to stop operating them as short-term rentals and rent them as long-term rentals. And let's just hope that their cash flow works on that. Otherwise, those homes are going to be going up for sale. I do disagree with the statement that short-term rentals are the problem with the housing market. There's just simply not enough short-term rentals. It's a drop in the bucket. I read recently that short-term rentals account for something like less than 1% of the housing market. So yes, there are some homes that are owned as short-term rentals, but the drastic amount of shortfall in homes for sale versus what's needed is not going to be made whole by short-term rentals being put up for sale. And I guess my other counterpoint to short-term rentals being the problem is short-term rentals are actually a solution for a lot of people. My family prefers to go stay in a short-term rental. If we're going on a family trip, an Airbnb, get a house or something that we can have to ourselves because we have more privacy. We can pick and customize our vacation more. You know, we may want a place with a hot tub or a swimming pool. And it's just a nicer experience overall to me than going and staying in a hotel with hundreds of people that you don't know. And, you know, you don't know that your hotel room's really going to be as nice as you want. And you don't know who's staying around you. And it's just not as nice. So I really enjoy the Airbnb VRBO niche and offering in the market as a customer. And then I really enjoy it as an owner because, as I've stated in the past, when we shifted from owning single families to doing 1031s into vacation rental cabins, it more than 10x'd our monthly profit on that portfolio. It changed my life completely. So all that to say, our vacation rental cabins are doing great. I'm not seeing the fall off that I'm reading about. So don't necessarily believe everything you read. I do think that some places are struggling more with the vacation rental Airbnb stuff than others. And it's probably in areas like these cities like Dallas, where they just made it illegal to own them. And maybe some other areas where you have way too much supply that's come online recently. But we're just not seeing an issue with that. So to wrap up, I want to encourage all of you, because I know there's a lot of you here that aren't subscribed over on YouTube. We're putting out shorts daily that I think will help you on your real estate investing journey. We're putting out two shorts a day, and they were putting out a long form video every week. And my number one goal with this podcast and my number one goal with the real estate content on YouTube is to help you become a better professional in whatever niche of real estate you're working in. If you're a lender, I want to help make you the best lender around. If you're a real estate investor, I want to help you reach financial freedom. If you're a house flipper, I want to help you flip more houses. Like, I want to get you guys to your goal. I want to provide as much value for you as I can. So do me a favor, jump over there, subscribe to that show. Leave me some comments on the videos. Tell me how I can add more value. We're going to try to do some lives there. And that way we could all interact with each other. I just want to close this by telling you, you don't know how much I appreciate you and your support. It means the world to me. And one of the craziest things about being a podcast host and doing this stuff on YouTube is watching the numbers of people that are listening to these, but not knowing you guys. And, you know, it's wild because I look at the map of where listeners are, and it's literally all over the world. Literally all over the world, there's been hundreds of thousands of downloads. And I'll never get to meet all you guys, but just know this, I really appreciate you. So on that note, love you guys, and we'll see you next time.